Ha, Robert, I see you turned on your record button finally.
It got too good to resist.
And you knew you would know when the time came.
You see, all things come to those who wait.
I think it would be a really neat podcast to go to Niagara Falls and just podcast the sounds.
Yeah, but everybody would be fighting over what microphones to use. Do we go with the cheap kind? Excuse me, the inexpensive kind? Or do we get the $2,500 kind? Well, with this gang, I'm certain we'll have it all.
Absolutely.
Well, I think my binaurals were $99 and connected to the Plextalk PTR2. It sounds very good.
I think if you're a real risk taker, Chris, you'll go to Niagara Falls, do a podcast of the sounds of the falls, recording on your new small talk, and you'll hold it right down over the falls. And Marla will stand behind you just in case.
Robert, you are bad. But Chris, do you have a new small talk?
It's on the way.
Hello, BCT listeners. This is Robert Carter from College Station, Texas. And what you just heard at the beginning of this podcast was a little snippet of people having fun in the Blind Cool Tech chat room. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the chat room, a little bit about Bluetooth technologies, and a little bit about some of my thoughts about how we can listen to more of these podcasts by speeding them up with either Studio Recorder or the Bookport. So I hope you'll stay with me for the next little while. And I first want to thank the people that you heard at the beginning of the podcast. That was Don, Eva, Chris, Marla, and Lynette, and myself. And we were all in the Blind Cool Tech chat room. The chat room is a place where people can gather to talk about anything. Mostly people come there just to have fun and socialize, and sometimes we talk about technology. Sometimes we talk about other topics relating to, well, just about everything. You know how it is on Blind Cool Tech. We cover the gamut of topics. And people were wanting a place where we could gather and actually chat and begin to put voices with the names that we see on the email list, or begin to put voices in real-time mode with the voices that we hear on each other's podcast. I have been aware of a number of chat clients for many years, but I actually did some work early on with the founder of Talking Communities, who is the inventor and owner of the chat client that we're currently using for this particular Blind Cool Tech chat. His name is George Buys, and George is truly an entrepreneur, an innovator in the field of audio chat. And when I realized that Blind Cool Tech was wanting a place to chat, I was able to contact George, and we began to talk about the possibility of setting up a Blind Cool Tech chat room. And George was very willing to do this. In fact, he is familiar with Blind Cool Tech and has listened to some of the podcast. And I'm hoping that he'll join us in the chat room from time to time. Now, you get there simply by going to the Blind Cool Tech website and clicking on the chat link. You will then be asked to enter your name and then press the login button to get into the room. That is if you already have the Talking Communities software on your PC. If you don't, you'll be asked to download a very small file that installs itself on your computer and then allows you to enter your name and log into the chat room. When you're actually in the chat room, you'll immediately hear people talking if there is anyone in there. If there's no one there, you'll hear silence, of course. You can press Alt-U, that's the Alt key and the letter U as in uniform, to put yourself in the list of users. That would be the list of people who are in the room at the time that you enter. And you can use your up and down arrow keys to up and down arrow through the list. It's also possible to do text messaging with this client. And there are commands for that. You can explore the menus and you can tab around the screen when you're in the room and you can see what's there. You can also make a recording with this client, which is how I recorded the little snippet of the chat at the beginning of this podcast. To talk, you hold down your control key, and when you hear a little blip that some people have said sounds a bit like the unlocking of a car door, you can know after you hear the blip that you are live. Whatever you are saying at that moment or whatever you say at that moment will be going out to the room. You keep the control key down while you're talking, and then when you're done talking, you release the key, and then someone else can talk. It also allows one to queue to be in line to speak, and the way you do that is hold the control key down while someone else is talking. And when they stop talking, the next person in the queue will immediately hear the blip and can start talking. And as many people as want to can queue up to speak. So I hope you'll come and join us and participate in the BCT chat anytime you want. It's available 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. It's not always busy, but there are frequently people there chatting, people getting to know each other and enjoying themselves. We've also had one more formal chat discussion that was graciously hosted and moderated by Debbie Norling from California, and it was on clicker training. And she had a number of people who are clicker trainers who have expertise in that area. Clicker training, if you're not familiar with it, is a method of using operant conditioning, which is based on the shaping or teaching a dog to behave in certain ways through a principle of rewards that are paired or associated with clicks. I did record that podcast for Debbie, and I think she's going to be putting it up at some point on the BCT website. Actually, by the time you hear this podcast, Mary Emerson will have also done a formal chat on holistic health. And I'm confident that we'll have many more organized chats around a specific topic. So stay tuned to the BCT list where you can hear information about who's going to be hosting a chat on a given item. At any rate, if you have questions about the BCT chat room that I can answer, please feel free to email me at r-carter@cox.net. In the second part of this podcast, I want to discuss Bluetooth technologies. I want to talk with you, first of all, about what Bluetooth is and why it's important. Bluetooth technology is a wireless technology. It is a short-range technology that only allows the connection of two devices as if they're within about 30 feet or 10 meters of each other. It's different from what we all hear about all the time, Wi-Fi, or wireless internet technology, in that the wireless internet technology, or Wi-Fi, is designed to allow one to wirelessly connect to the internet. And the wireless technology has a much longer range. You can be much further from your wireless access point and still connect to the internet than you can with Bluetooth. Interestingly enough, Bluetooth was developed by a conglomeration of technology companies. And you might think that it's called Bluetooth because it was developed by someone with a terrible dental problem. But in actuality, it's called Bluetooth because it's a merging of a lot of different protocols or technologies into one protocol. And there was a Danish king in the 13th century named Bluetooth who was known for bringing warring factions together. He was a peacemaker. And so with Bluetooth, what's happened is they've taken several of the traditional protocols that were done with wires. For example, the connection of a cell phone to a computer to transfer files back and forth. They developed a protocol similar to the FTP protocol, file transfer protocol, that allows one to transfer files between two Bluetooth devices. There's a printer protocol where you can print from a computer to a printer that's set up to work with Bluetooth. There are modem Bluetooth capabilities where one can use their cell phone to act as a modem, a dial-up modem, and dial a phone number and connect your Braille note or your PC or your PDA or some other device to the internet using your cell phone as a modem. There's also a headset protocol which allows you to connect a headset or earpiece wirelessly using Bluetooth, for example, so that you can talk on your cell phone and have an earpiece in your ear that allows you to both listen and talk and not have to have your hands on your phone. In fact, Bluetooth is based on radio frequency technology, which means that you do not have to have the two devices in line of sight with one another. They don't have to be able to line up with each other. So you can have your phone in your pocket and your earpiece in your ear, and they have no problem communicating with each other. Now, Bluetooth is a more advanced or next generation technology beyond what we used to use to connect wireless devices, which was infrared technology. Of course, it's still available. Your TV remote control uses infrared to communicate with your TV so you can change the channel while you're sitting in your easy chair. Are any of you all old enough to remember the time when you had to actually get up and walk across the room and turn a knob on the TV to change the channel or to turn the volume up and down? That really used to be the case several years ago. All right, so Bluetooth is available in more and more devices these days. And I want to give you a little bit of a flavor for how I'm currently using Bluetooth. I first used it with my cell phone. At that time I had a Nokia 3660 cell phone that had both Bluetooth and infrared in it. And I used infrared for a while and eventually switched to Bluetooth because, one, you don't have to have the phone lined up with the infrared port on the PC. And two, Bluetooth is a much faster transfer protocol than infrared. Now, why would I need to connect my computer via Bluetooth with my cell phone? Well, the reason that I needed to do it was so that I could transfer files from my computer to my phone, and these files happen to be updates to the Tox screen reader that I use on my Nokia phone. I now use a different phone, a Nokia 6600, but it continues to use the Bluetooth method of transferring information from the PC to the phone. So there are no wires connecting the two. Now, I would like to comment briefly on one of the gotchas with Bluetooth. And in my opinion, the biggest difficulty with it is setting it up, installing it, particularly on a PC. Your Braille Note, your cell phone, the new Smalltalk Ultra from GW Micro, as well as a lot of other products, come with Bluetooth built in, already installed, and there's no problem. You just turn it on and go through a process called pairing of connecting it with the device that you want to use it with, and I'll talk a bit more about pairing in a second. But the PC that doesn't already have Bluetooth built into it, and most of them don't, at least most of the desktops, don't have it built in, is a little more difficult, simply because what you have to do is install, is purchase, first of all, something called a Bluetooth dongle, which is a little device not much bigger than a key, most of them, that is actually a little Bluetooth radio. Remember I said Bluetooth is an RF or radio frequency technology. Little Bluetooth radio that plugs into your USB port and provides Bluetooth capability for your computer. Most of these dongles require you to install some software drivers that come with the dongle. But Microsoft came out with its own Bluetooth drivers called the Bluetooth Stack in Windows XP Service Pack 2. Unfortunately, in my experience and the experience of many others that I'm familiar with, most of the dongles out there don't work all that well with the Microsoft Windows XP Service Pack 2 Bluetooth capabilities. But when you attempt to use your software that came with your dongle, frequently the Microsoft Bluetooth stack tries to take control of everything rather than actually allowing you to use the drivers that you installed with your dongle. So you have to go into the device manager and update the drivers to let Windows know that you do not want it to use the Microsoft Bluetooth stack, but you want it to use the drivers that you installed for that particular dongle. And that can be a bit of a hassle, and it's a kind of a techie thing to have to do, and I've seen a lot of people on various lists that I'm on have trouble doing that. So that's probably the biggest downside. Now, once you get your Bluetooth working on your PC, there are icons that show up in your system tray and on your desktop that allow you to configure that particular Bluetooth device to work with other things like your cell phone or your PDA or your Braille Note or whatever other device you have that's Bluetooth capable. And one thing they did with Bluetooth is they made it secure, so that you have to use something called a pairing code, and both devices have to have the same code entered into them before they can talk to each other, so that you can be sure that you're only communicating with the device that you want to communicate with. The pairing process is really fairly straightforward. It involves entering a code on each device in cases where both devices have a keyboard, like a computer and a Braille Note. But if there are cases where both devices don't have a keyboard, for example, there's no keyboard on an earpiece that you use with your cell phone, or there's no keyboard on a Bluetooth GPS receiver that you connect with your Braille note. Those devices typically come with a predefined code, and so the pairing process is a little bit simpler with them. Now, another place where I use Bluetooth and my cell phone is, as I said earlier, the Bluetooth protocol has built into it the capability for allowing a cell phone to act as a modem. And so anywhere that I have cell phone coverage, I can use my cell phone as a modem, have it dial into the internet, and connect me to the internet with my Braille Note Empower or Braille Note PK, and I can be on the internet walking across my campus, for example, or driving in the car, and websites and email and so forth will show up on the Braille Note just as if I was plugged into an internet connection, or just as if I was using a Wi-Fi or a wireless connection. Another example of using Bluetooth is one that has come about fairly recently. I've seen more and more of it just in the past few months, is the idea of using Bluetooth for wireless headphones. And I've got two different setups that I use. Let me describe them briefly just so you have an idea of what I'm talking about. Logitech came out with a set of iPod Bluetooth headphones that was intended to allow one to connect their Apple iPod to a set of headphones. And of course, then you can listen to your iPod as long as you're within 30 feet or so of the actual iPod. You can listen to it without any wires connecting you to the headphones. And maybe I'm in the minority on this, but I am one person who absolutely is sick of my headphone wires getting tangled up in my dog's harness or getting in the way when I'm preparing breakfast or whatever it is I'm doing. So the idea of wireless headphones was very appealing to me. Now, what you get when you buy this Logitech Bluetooth setup is you get a pair of stereo headphones that fit over your ears, and they have a band that goes behind your neck. And in the package also is a little Bluetooth radio, a little dongle, that's slightly larger than a 9-volt battery. And this is the actual Bluetooth transmitter that sends the signal from the iPod to the headphones. The good news is that these Bluetooth headphones from Logitech are not restricted to use with the Apple iPod. They can actually be made to work with any device that has an 1/8-inch female phone jack, which most devices do, like the book port and computer sound cards. Headphone jacks on most devices these days are the little, what they call mini phone jacks. So there's a little jumper cable that comes with this dongle. One end plugs into the dongle itself. The other end, you can plug it into any device that will work with headphones. I actually like to wear the dongle on my belt along with my book port on my belt, and I plug my book port into this little wire, and then I have wireless headphone capability for my book port. And I've used these Logitech iPod headphones with almost every other device that I can think of that I have that will accept headphones, and it works great. And by the way, the stereo separation and the lack of noise on these headphones are really phenomenal. I can't tell much difference at all between headphones with a wire connected to the book port and these wireless headphones. So it's very, very usable. Of course, with the Logitech setup, each device, the headphones and the Bluetooth dongle, as I'm calling it, require a battery. And they each have a rechargeable battery, and the battery life on that particular system is about 8 hours. So you get good battery life, and you can charge both the headphones and the dongle at the same time. Comes with a charger to do that. It's a very nice setup if you're interested in something like that. I got that, by the way, from Amazon.com. Did a search for iPod Bluetooth headphones. And there are actually several other companies now, I believe, that are making a similar setup, so you can look around and there may be something out there that's even more interesting than what I have. Also have another Bluetooth dongle that I use with my GPS system on my Braille Note. Now, I should have said that the Logitech system that I was just describing, the Bluetooth dongle will only work with the Logitech headphones that come with it. It will not work with any other headphones or any other earpieces out there, only the one that's sold with it. And I at first considered using it as a Bluetooth receiver for my Braille Note when I'm out walking with my GPS system, but I realized that the Logitech headphones cover both ears, and I don't think that I would be able to hear what's going on around me well enough to really feel safe out walking with those. So I looked around and actually discovered through someone at Sendero Group, Carl Simmons, that there was another Bluetooth dongle available from a company called Blue Essentials, which is at blueessentials.com. They sell a dongle that's designed specifically to connect a cell phone to an earpiece, a Bluetooth earpiece. Now, if your cell phone comes with Bluetooth built in, you don't need this dongle. You already can connect them that way. But if you have a cell phone that doesn't already have Bluetooth built into it, you can buy this dongle and turn your cell phone into a phone that will work with a Bluetooth headset or Bluetooth earpiece. That is assuming that your phone is compatible with this dongle. Now, this one is even smaller than the Logitech dongle. It's about the size of a compact flash card. And it turns out that you can use this dongle with the Braille Note to connect the Braille Note to the earpiece that you normally would use with a cell phone. So that gives me a wireless earphone to use with my Braille Note GPS system. And it only hangs over one ear, so it doesn't block sound around me, but it's a very workable system. Now, one of the gotchas with this system is that this particular Bluetooth dongle comes with a sub-miniature phone plug, which will fit into most cell phone earphone jacks. So you have to get an adapter to adapt the sub-miniature to a miniature plug so that it will work with the Braille Notes. And we have discovered, unfortunately, through trial and error, that just plugging a long adapter into the Braille Note PK especially can create problems. It can act, if you're not careful, you can actually break the headphone jack inside the PK. And if that happens, it has to be returned to HumanWare for repair. So what I do is I use a little jumper cable that goes from the adapter to the PK so that there isn't any unnecessary tension or stress being put on the headphone jack of the PK. So you want to be careful with that if you choose to go this route. This is ultimately a workaround because of the fact that the BrailleNote family does not support the use of Bluetooth headsets. Even though it has Bluetooth built into it, it only supports certain aspects, certain components of the Bluetooth protocol, like it supports the modem component, it supports the active sync component, which allows you to connect a Bluetooth GPS receiver. And that's the next thing I want to talk a little bit about. Another way that I use Bluetooth is to connect my BrailleNote to my GPS receiver with no wires. Interestingly enough, what I have chosen to do is I purchased a baseball cap that has a little pouch on the side of it designed to hold my GPS receiver. So I wear my GPS receiver in my cap on the top of my head, of course, which gives it additional height, makes the receiver be above my body, so my body is not in the way of the receiver getting good reception from the satellites. And it actually works a lot better. Plus, it's tucked away in my hat. I don't have to worry about it. There are no wires going from my cap to my BrailleNote. So that's just another example of the way I'm currently making use of Bluetooth. I hope this hasn't been too tedious or boring. I tried to just hit the high spots of Bluetooth, but I thought maybe people would like to know a little more about it. I'm going to now move on to the very brief third part of this podcast, which is something that I've been thinking about for a while, and perhaps others are thinking about this as well. I really enjoy and value all of the podcasts that are posted to BCT, and I try to listen to as many of them as possible. But as a busy person with a full-time job and many other things going on in my life, I simply don't have the time to even listen to the several hours of podcasts that get posted to Blind Cool Tech every day. Not to mention the thousands of other podcast possibilities that are out there that one can download and listen to. There just isn't time to listen to all that I would like to be hearing. And so I've been looking at a couple different ways of speed listening to podcasts, and I'd just like to share them briefly with you in case they're of interest to you. First of all, if you have a book port, since podcasts are just MP3 files, you can use the book port transfer software to compress the time and pauses in an MP3 file, and thereby speeding up the podcast. And you can adjust the amount that the podcast is speeded up within the bookport transfer software. Now, the one gotcha, of course, is that once you compress this file and send it to the bookport, you have to listen to it at that speed on the bookport. You cannot make any speed adjustments on the fly on the current book port. So another way that I like to do it is to sometimes listen to the podcasts in Studio Recorder, because Studio Recorder has the same compression capabilities as the book port transfer software, except that in Studio Recorder you can adjust the speed on the fly. So if you get to a section of the podcast that you want to listen to more carefully, you can slow it down, or one that you want to hear but you need to get through it fairly quickly, you can speed it up. And of course, as most of us are familiar with, speech compression using our speech synthesizers on our PC, or listening to cassette tapes maybe that you've sped up with speech compression. This does not change the pitch of the speech at all. It simply makes the person sound like they're talking faster. No, I don't speed up all my podcasts because I really love the ambience of some of the sound-seeing tours and of Larry's walks to and from work. But it is reasonable to speed some of them up. Well, any of them that you want, that you feel like you can comprehend well at higher speeds. And I'm a person who listens to synthetic speech all day long at very, very high speeds. So this, of course, would appeal to me. But I just wanted to point out a couple ways that one can do some speed listening and get through more podcast. Hope you all have enjoyed this little 3-in-1 podcast with three totally unrelated topics. And I'll be looking forward to talking with you again next time I do one of these. In the meantime, if you want to get in touch with me about anything, you can contact me via email at r-carter@cox.net. So long from Texas.